Chapter 66. February 13th of year 19. Marchenko, please come in. It is Adam's voice that sounds in the central module, even though Adam was lying quietly asleep on his couch just a moment ago.
This is Marchenko. What's up?
My voice answers, even though I did not utter anything. In the long run, these duplications will confuse me to no end. We will have to do something about it if we are to stay together for a longer time. It should not be a problem to change my voice to no longer match the voice of Marchenko, too.
We found something, the other Adam says, but we can't get it open. I'm sorry, but you'll have to get yourself here.
There is some news you two are not aware of,
my alter ego says. He hasn't told them about us yet.
I wanted it to be a surprise, Marchenko, too, explains. Yesterday, a second messenger team arrived. A different Marchenko is already planning to visit you out there. He's more mobile than I am, and is currently located within Jay, the robot. I am sending him over there right now.
That's fine, Marchenko, the other Adam says. We're looking forward to meeting your twin. Adam out.
You heard it, Marchenko too says to me. So it'd be nice if you could head out soon.
By the way, how are the two able to stay so long in the cold ocean? I ask.
They took along an inflatable dome and lots of oxygen, he replies. I think they just wanted to get out of here and be independent for once. You know how it is.
My robot head nods.
And as I mentioned, the quantum computer invite still stands.
Once I get back, I say. I say goodbye to Adam and Eve. I don't think the two of them will miss me very much. Then I head toward the airlock. It will not be necessary for me to have a lengthy preparation period, because my steel body has no problem with the high pressure on the bottom of the ocean. My destination is about 3 hours away by speedy walking, and Marchenko, too, has sent me a detailed map of the ocean floor environment. I leave the airlock chamber and slowly sink to the bottom. If I were completely dependent on eyes, the impenetrable darkness might frighten me, but there is plenty of light in other areas of the spectrum. The landed messenger practically glows because it gives off so much energy. It looks a little like a fairy tale castle that has been transported to an enchanted land. It is readily apparent it does not belong here. My software projects the planned course over an image of my environment. The overlay feels real, just as if somebody put up signposts at the edge of my field of vision. The ground has slight waves, but my path slowly leads me deeper. I am making good progress. Even though the pressure down here is high, I am moving in long leaps, as if in zero gravity. Now and then I step on the hair plants common here, which gain energy from currents. There are only a few very small varieties of mushrooms, probably due to the water above us, shielding so much of the light. I remember an old folk song about a miller who liked to wander around, and the tune reverberates through my consciousness. It feels good knowing Adam and Eve are safe. Today, I am only responsible for myself. I look around. The landscape is surprisingly boring. Due to the strong magnetic field that requires a partially liquid mantle, I would have expected more geological activity, but I only see a wavy semi-desert stretching across many kilometers. Without the water above me, it might as well be the Sahara on Earth. The fact that this sea is not teeming with life like the oceans on Earth is certainly related to its location at the edge of the inhabitable hemisphere. Life always depends on its sun, and existence in a realm of eternal twilight leaves less room for evolution. Perhaps it was high time the inhabitants of this planet had started looking for a new home. Will Earth reach this point at some time? A long time ago, when I was still human, it seemed questionable whether the planet's environmental degradation could be curbed. Now the automatic system alerts me that an energy source has been detected on the horizon. This must be my destination. What might Adam and Eve, too, have found there? Is this really the transmitter that led us to this planet? During the last meters, the gravitational force rises immeasurably.
Adam, please come in,
I radio to the other Adam and Eve. I really do not want to frighten them. For them, the darkness of their surroundings must be impenetrable. If suddenly a robot emerged from the shadows, I do not get a reply.
Adam, Eve, I will be there in a moment, I say.
The radio channel stays silent. I radio back to my alter ego.
Marchenko, did you receive any message from Adam and Eve?
My question to Marchenko, too, also goes unanswered. This can only mean my radio module must be faulty.
I try again to reach the landed messenger, but no one replies. Shit, now of all times. But it is not a disaster. I will reach the signal source in 10 minutes, and there I should be somehow able to communicate with Adam and Eve too. They know I am on the way, and will be able to handle a bit of shock when I suddenly stand in front of them. Didn't Marchenko, too, say they had an inflatable dome? I'm scanning the area for a slight rise, but am unable to locate one. The signal source is emitting too much energy for me to detect its precise shape. Perhaps its emissions mask the habitat dome, or Adam and Eve, too, have already dismantled it to start on the return trip with me. Another 100 meters. Now I recognize what Adam and Eve, too, found. It is beautiful. A work of art. A slender and elegant pylon rises above a seemingly fragile transparent dish with a diameter of at least 15 meters. At the same time, spheres float around the mast at distances representing a geometric progression. I take a closer look. The spheres measure almost a meter, and they really float as there is nothing visible holding them. I also do not detect a force field surrounding any of the individual spheres. Therefore, their density is adjusted precisely to that of the surrounding water, so that their buoyancy is equal to their mass. Considering that water density changes with the temperature, there must be an active process inside the spheres to balance that. An exciting technology. We could use it to construct airships that automatically stay at a certain altitude. I cannot determine if the spheres fulfill a specific function. The dish and the pylon clearly form a transmitter, as I can measure energy emissions at many wavelengths. The transmitter basically seems to be active, but it is not sending a signal. It cannot have been built by humans, because the technology is completely alien. Was it constructed by the beings that took off from the spaceport millennia ago? And why did they call us now and not back then? I look around. There is something wrong here. Where are Adam and Eve too? What am I supposed to open for Adam? I cannot find anything that needs to be opened. Did they endanger themselves by trying to manipulate alien technology? Adam, please come in. Where are you? I radio again. A dark lump separates itself from the ground below me. It is an ISU, and the automatic system classifies it as non-threatening. Yet, it is also not one of the sensor units that I had sent out. Then a sudden impulse hits me. It is an electrical field, the same weapon I used to deactivate the torpedo. The sensor informs me before it fails. Things go dark around me. I can neither see anything nor move anymore. I am locked inside my hardened memory modules.